America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Let's be honest. When the Browns do something wrong, it's Dan's fault. Seriously.
Or Titus,
let him have it.
Or Titus's fault.
I think it's Titus's fault.
It's always Titus's fault.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll hear from the man who sits with me, and it's his fault on game day. He's Mr. Tyvus Powell. Hello, Tyvus.
First of all, y'all are insane. Y'all, stop this Titus stuff. I got to hear it every Sunday. I don't need to hear it from you two.
It's your evil cousin, man. That's what we're working. It's your evil brother.
You're such a nice guy. Let's make Titus your alter ego.
Oh, wait a second. Hang on. The Bedford City School District is calling. They want the diploma back so they can spell your name right on there. Titus.
Yeah, we're gonna get Dick from Dayton right. You know,
one we will.
He gonna get it right. I got faith in him.
That's funny. All right, so here's the deal. Kevin Stefanski opened his press conference. I know you're busy, so I'm sure you didn't hear it.
I didn't.
First question.
You know what he said.
Oh,
of course you know the same thing every time.
So. We have to coach better, we have to play better, and we'll get it fixed. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. He was asked, ultimately, what's the call on Deshaun? And he said, ultimately, it's his decision on who starts at quarterback. And he was asked about ownership being involved, and he said, certainly, we talk about it with Tyvus' kids and Andrew Berry and with ownership.
Uh-huh.
I don't think there's any way that he can bench Deshaun Watson on his own without completely putting his own job in jeopardy. And I think your kids would agree.
Well, I mean, I think that's unfair, you know, because, you know, this is the guy that you paid this money to be successful and let him do his thing. And how can this guy won two times coach of the year doing it his way? And if it's not working, then it's not working. And I don't think it's fair to put his job at jeopardy, because if this thing fails, like ultimately blows up in their face, somebody got to pay for it. And usually it's the head coach. So I don't think it's fair that they're going to continue to march him out there, even though they know it's not working.
I don't. Titus Jr. there sounds like it's all on the coach. I'm hearing it in the background.
You talking my daughter?
Yeah. Male, female, it doesn't matter. Still Titus.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Come on. Hey,
if
listen.
You never join this show again, Tyvus. I get it.
No, that's right. He's still got to work with us on Sundays, man. He's in trouble.
I'll see Andy every Sunday and be happy to see him no matter what.
What about me?
Well, we can talk about
depends,
that.
It depends on if we win the game.
Yeah, normally it's everything's blown over a week later. We're good. We're starting from scratch.
It is fun. If a game's not going well, Tyvus and I are sitting there, and Tyvus just say, "Oh, this is going to be fun," and he doesn't mean fun.
Hey, Tyvus, what was your take on the miscommunication play at the start of the second half? And I mean, I just don't know. I don't know how that happens. I watch entire college football seasons, entire high school football seasons, where you don't see that kind of miscommunication on a super important play where you may have elevated yourself back into the game after playing a very bad first half.
It doesn't make sense because, you know, I said it in a post-game show, like, some of the things that they're doing, you know, you can make the excuse for week one, maybe even week two. But we're talking about week five here. Like, at some point, like, you should be clicking on all cylinders. And how long does it take, you know, for us to see this new offense? Like, I get that it's new. You know, I get that guys didn't play in the preseason. I get all of those things. But, like, it's week five now. Like, at some point, like, that's not an excuse anymore, you know. And the fact that, you know, the offensive line is still struggling – you know, I was wondering, you know, when I was thinking about it today, I'm thinking, you know, okay, it's a new offensive scheme. You know, maybe these guys on this offensive line, you know, when they acquired these guys or they drafted these guys and they groomed these guys, they were all ready for running the ball and play action and things like that. And now that you switch it to more of a spread and more of a pass type thing, you know, maybe those guys aren't used to that. You know, and if it's going to continue to look like that, then I think you got to go back to what works. And, you know, I know that you changed it because that's what Deshaun likes to do and all of those things, but you got to save the rest of the locker room in this whole situation. Like Deshaun can't tell me he's comfortable with getting sacked 7 times or getting hit all these games and think that that's okay. Like, you won't make it half the season if you continue to do these things. So I think at some point these guys got to look at this experiment and say, you know what, we're going to have to put this on the shelf. It's not working right now. And you got to find a way to inspire this team because, like, if they go out there and lose this Sunday, like, 1-5, it's like, all right, let's get our flights booked to Cancun, you know? Like, it's pretty much done. So you got to find a way to win this locker room back, keep them inspired, keep them motivated. So something has to change. There's no way you're going to march that same team out there again this Sunday with no change and think that everything is just going to be fun and they're just going to be happy to be out there. That's not going to be the case.
I know that you've been working today and you didn't hear the beginning of our show. Now that you would listen, even if you weren't working, Andy and I said the same thing. Something has to change. Is it something you think visible from the offense, maybe a change of personnel in some way, shape, or form? Or is it more subtle stuff that maybe Andy and I and most football fans would never pick up, but a guy like you who played in the NFL would?
I mean, I think it has to be, you know, it could be the play calling. It could be going back to the old scheme. It's multiple ways. But, you know, the reason that I'm shocked by it all is because if I'm looking at this from a defensive player, no, outside of JOK, Corey Bojorquez, and Dustin Hopkins, we joke about it, but those are like literally the three bright spots in this overall Brown season. Those are the only three guys that look kind of how they looked last year, and they look the same this year. Obviously, I know Miles is Miles, and he's dealing with some injuries, so that's what's keeping him back. But outside of them four names, nobody looks like how they did last year. What changed in 1 year that you guys went from a physical, dominant football team that was inspired, didn't matter who was in there, we were going to play as hard as we can, we were going to take the fight to everybody, to this team that looked like they was done at halftime, that looked defeated at halftime? Like, what has happened in 1 year that y'all got like that? And I think that's the problem right there. They got to figure out what happened from last year to this year that they completely lost their entire identity as a football team. And it's glaring. And that's the part that's frustrating me because defensively, what's the inspiration defensively? Last year, you get some stops, you get the ball back, the offense at least is scoring, or they going down the field and they going to put some type of points up on the board. This year, if you get the stop or not, I mean, I think they were, 1-17 on third down yesterday. So if that's the case, 1-13. If they was that on third down, like as a defensive player, okay, so we going to get the stop. So what? We going to be right back out there 4 plays. So like, what's the point? And I think that they get to a point where they getting overtired, they're getting overworked, they're getting overused because they're not seeing their offense put the ball in the end zone. There's no benefit for them getting off the field, which means that they're starting to have these extended drives. Now guys are getting fatigued, guys are getting in and out of the lineup, guys are getting banged up and getting knocked out of the game. Like that, it's just a lot that's going on, and I think a lot of it can be fixed if that offense starts clicking.
Tyvus, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, about the whole being able to make a good tackle and that the team had worked on it this week. But it's not – I think, Tyvus, learning how to tackle in practice isn't what it used to be, right? We were talking about the thud yesterday. And so can you explain that to folks about how can you get better at tackling during practice if you can't have that same kind of contact you used to 5-10 years ago?
I think that nowadays you have to – so you don't hit in practice. You thud. The ways you work on tackling in practice is they usually do like a tackling circuit. So when I was playing, we would have – obviously you get 2 days of practice before like Friday. Doesn't really count. That's like a fast Friday. Mm-hmm. So every Wednesday it would be like a padded practice because I think you get, 12 of them or something like that, 12 or 14 padded practices. So they was doing – you get pads on once a week. So every Wednesday you would have – a tackling circuit. And what in this tackling circuit, what it would look like is you would demonstrate all of the tackles that you might see in the game. Now, you might do it on a dummy, you might do it on a popsicle, or you might do it on a player, on like a scout team player or something like that, to where you're just working on fitting it. Obviously, this is like a 50% type thing. You're not trying to kill each other in this, but you just want to get your body used to stepping and tackling, making sure you're going same shoulder, same foot. You're making sure that you're not giving up cutback lanes and things like that. You're working on angling tackling. You're working on strike zone tackling. You're working on hawk tackling, or excuse me, wrap and roll. That's where you wrap the guy, you roll your body. That's what you see. You work on those type of things. All of the tackles that you might do in the game. And it's just like a 15-minute period where you go from – you got like four different stations that you go through, and at each station you work on one of those tackles I just told you about. So your mind is sharp. And as you're going through practice, you thud up. Now, it doesn't happen really in the secondary. Secondary, by the time the ball gets to you, those guys work on, like, punching at the ball and stripping the ball on a running back or something like that. But with linebackers and, you know, D-line, those guys really kind of work on fitting up runs and doing it right. And it's just a thud. When we say thud, that means you run, boom, you hit the guy, and you get out the way. You don't take him to the ground. You don't necessarily wrap up. It's just a boom, just to make sure you fill in the contact, and then y'all get out the way, and the running back continues to run up the field and do all what he's supposed to do. But the reason that you do that, and, you know, as a player, you get tired of doing it, and you don't want to do it as much. It's like, I want to save it for the game. But every time that I did that in practice, every time that I actually forced myself to do thuds in practice, it made me a much better tackler for when Sunday came around, or in college when Saturday came around. So the mentality has to be, you know, we can't brother-in-law each other. And then the one last thing I'm going to say is on scout team, we got to be better on scout team, because the players emphasize that we look really good in practice. We're doing all the things that we're supposed to do in practice. It's not translate to the game. But I wonder with the scout team, with all the injuries, it could be times where those scout team players be like, hey, I'm not going to go that hard on you today. I know you're dealing with some stuff, so I'm going to just go about 75%. Well, I think that might be messing them up a little bit. Maybe we need better looks on the scout team to get these guys prepared for what they might see on Sundays. I know it sounds small and people are like, oh, you can't put this on the scout team, but it does matter if you're getting a realistic look without trying to brother-in-law your teammates. So that's something I thought about as I was driving home yesterday.
I can't wait to hear what you think about driving in next Sunday, because we'll hear it in the pregame show, and then I'll hear it in the postgame show. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Tyvus.
See y'all next week.
And Tyvus Powell.
It's not Titus. Oh, yeah. You got a whole city named after you in Florida.
There it is.
Titusville.
Tyvus, thank you. Bye. He's joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler.
Does Dick and Dayton do that every
Dodge
time?
Ram. Hot. Yeah, he does.
Every time?
Every time. And we've told him.
And he doesn't care.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
No, Tyvus Powell had some very interesting thoughts. If you missed those thoughts, or Scott Petrax, or Brian Anderson, who's calling play-by-play for TBS today on Game 2.
The other Brian Anderson.
Guardians Tigers. Mm-hmm. Go back and listen to them on our website, 923thefan.com, or the Odyssey app. Something, as Tyvus said, something needs to change. We said that at the beginning of the show, Andy. Something needs to change.
Well, if you listen to the press conference, nothing is changing.
If you listen to the press conference, nothing changed. Do you believe that?
Yes. I don't think they're going to change a thing.
You don't?
They're going to come back next week and say, okay, well, maybe we're healthier here in this position. I do not have a good feeling. If nothing changes at all going into next week, I don't know how you can have any confidence in this team.
Well, if they
are not a good football
team. If nothing changes and they don't win next week at 1-5,
it doesn't matter.
I don't want to say it's over, it's pretty darn close.
Mark your calendars.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, if they go back one and five
next week, I mean, I would think you're looking ahead the next year and the trade deadline and everything else.
So then the question becomes, okay, how quick can you trade Amari Cooper for a draft pick for next year? Are you thinking about trading Nick Chubb, you know, in the, if he's okay and he's healthy after this 21-day period, and another team might want to pick him up. These are all things I do not want to happen. But I think if they give up on the season, they throw up the white flag, then, you know, hey, it's time to move forward.
I would agree with that. Jim is in Parma. Jim, welcome to the show.
Yeah, earlier in the program, you guys, I think, hit it right on the head. There is an old saying, I believe it's Jewish in origin, man plans, God laughs. Right now, God is laughing at the Browns planning so hard, tears are coming out of his eyes. And that planning, I believe, goes all the way back to at least Baker Mayfield when they decided to get rid of him. And maybe even before, when they hired an owner whose resume consisted of a minor stock owner in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Somebody is doing the planning here, and let's be honest. If Deshaun Watson was on any other team, would he be the starting quarterback?
Under this contract, yes, he would. If you, if the contract was the same,
under
he
the
was.
Contract.
And the other thing, too, just point of reference, because I think people know that I like Baker. Baker chose to leave. Baker asked to leave after they.
But the Browns didn't have to.
No, they wanted to. They wanted to flirt with Watson, and so they did. Watson said no.
Whose decision was that?
It was a team's decision to try to upgrade. But their job every day, and whether their job every day is to try to upgrade at every position. That is what a front office is tasked to do. And if they felt that Deshaun Watson was going to be a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield, that was their decision. Now, they hopped into a party they probably didn't think they had any chance of being able to hang out at. And when Baker came back and said, hey, I'm gone, wrote the letter to the fans and said, see you later, when he really wasn't at that point, and Haslam wanted to talk to him and he didn't want to talk to Haslam, then we had problems. And he's like, get me out of here. So, and then, you know, Haslam's like, well, I don't care. At what expense is it going to cost for us to get him? Go get him. So I know it hasn't worked out, and I know it's been ugly, and it hasn't been the expectations that any one of us wanted. But in some ways, you kind of have to look at it and say, if this thing did work out, you have an owner that's willing to spend any amount of money to go out and get a player they think can help them win a Super Bowl. I guarantee you that Haslam's aren't excited about the fact that they're not winning. Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about what it just looks like a giant waste of money right now. That's all I'm saying, Jim.
Okay, if the money is available, okay, why did we go out and hire Ken Dorsey, who Buffalo was ecstatic to get rid of? Why did we go out and get Jerry Jeudy? We change our whole offensive thing. Kevin Stefanski, and I don't want to get rid of Kevin Stefanski. Believe me, I don't always agree with him. But if Kevin Stefanski's job was to put the best team on the field that we could field, and Deshaun Watson is our best quarterback at this point in time, we may be in a race with Carolina and the Jaguars to get the first draft pick.
April 24th, market. That's when the draft is.
Jim, thank you.
And Kevin's playing with the players that they give him. I mean, that is the one thing I'll hold true to every manager, every head coach. He can only put guys out there that the front office gives him.
And clearly, the front office ownership have given him a quarterback that he has to play. Billy's in Lakewood. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Billy.
How's it going, guys?
Hey.
So, a couple things. I'm going to try to get through it quick. Jeff alluded to it earlier. We're in a situation, we can talk about X's and O's on the field all day long. We're in a situation because of Haslam. After, he makes one, and I know you guys can't talk too much about this, so I'm going to do it for you. He makes one bonehead decision after another. And I'm not going to sit here and go through the last 7-8 years, but I do want to fast forward to what Kevin Stefanski said today in the press conference. And Jeff, I heard some other things that maybe you didn't mention, and he at one point said he makes the final decision. And then that reporter followed up with another question to, you know, really isolate it. And then he kind of danced around.
He said, I won't get into specifics. We clearly talked to Andrew and to ownership on big decisions. Is that what you're talking
correct
about?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't double down and say, I'm the final decision maker.
Correct.
He did circle back, though. He did circle back on who the starting quarterback was, didn't he? I thought he started, he said, I did, and then he said, I talked to those guys, and then he goes, but in the end, it's on me.
And Billy, like any employee, I mean, no employee has the final say.
No, you know, but here's my biggest point is this. We're going down a scary path because Haslam is going to be stubborn. He's going to save face. He does not want to look like he made a $240 for $240.
I wish it was $240 bucks, man.
I wish too. So he's going to sit there and run this to the very end. I mean, he may run Haslam or he may run Watson all the way to game 10 to know for sure that he's crap. When we all know he's crap right now, and I don't mean to talk derogatory about him, but he's playing like crap. And if Haslam sits there and forces Stefanski to keep him in all the way to the end of the season, he's jeopardizing the whole season. He basically is sacrificing our season so he doesn't look bad. And then what he's going to do is he's going to blame it on Stefanski or he's going to blame it on Barry. And that's how it's going to go down.
So Billy, someone is going to get blamed. You're right. Well, how many years? We've already now changed offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and special teams coordinator.
Pro Football Talk, our buddy Mike Florio's website, has a story out about Deshaun right now.
Oh, yeah?
At the current pace, Deshaun will be sacked 88 times this year.
Oh, that's down. It was 90 last week.
Which would be a new NFL record. And would be sacked for a loss of 524 yards, which would also be a new NFL record.
It's progress, though, because after last week it was 90.
Pro Football Talk says, and sorry, yes, offensive line, but getting sacked that often is on the quarterback, which I agree with. And if you look at Deshaun's,
gotta get rid of the ball fast.
If you look at Deshaun's career, he gets sacked a lot. So I think that's very telling.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.